This morning the reading is John chapter 20 in the first 8 verses, and it can be found on page 766. Page 766. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed.
Thanks, Tim.
Front. Anyone who'd like to can come sit on the carpet, and I would love volunteers. Something here that I'm going to open up. What does this say to you? Everybody sit down. It's quite a big box, isn't it? But don't you find Easter really disappointing? Because when you open a box and you get out the actual egg, big box, small egg. And actually, when you open the egg, what do you find? Is it solid chocolate? It's hollow. There's nothing in it. Empty. You sit down, Abigail. Good girl. Have you noticed about the wrapping around Easter is pretty unfair as well? It's a holiday, which is nice. There are eggs, which can be fun. In fact, I have one of these for all those who are here this morning, small children anyway. You have to wait, because Easter's a bit like that. You have to wait for the fun bit. Under the wrapping, Easter is the greatest date in the calendar. It is the date on which something happened that changed the whole world. It was an event bigger than war starting, bigger than peace being declared, bigger than the election of a new president, bigger even than the right crew winning the boat race. I want to show you why it is big. Now, here is a bag, and who can open it? Who knows how to open one of these? William, why don't you try this? It's quite a squished down bag. Why don't you open it quickly, as fast as you can? Inside, there is something. I think... You're not going to be able to do that.
I can.
And that. Now you can.
When you get it out, hold it up. And shake it out. Now there is something big that's contained. Stand up, hold it up. Something big that came out of something really small. Well, actually, it's only a child's sleeping bag. I was hoping for a bigger one than that. But anyway. Okay, thank you, William. Down you get. I want to show you something that's a bit like that sleeping bag. Something huge that comes out of something really small. It's a verse in the Bible. And I want to show you that verse. It's all about Easter. And it's got Easter squeezed down really tiny. So, grown-ups, you're going to need to find it. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. I'll find it, and then I'll read it to you. Three short sentences, jam-packed. Here it is. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this."
That's all. You killed the author of life. God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. You could shorten it down and you could say, you killed him. God raised him. We saw him. Or you can make it even shorter and you could say, killed, raised, seen. Can you say those three words with me? Go. Killed, raised, seen. Three really small words, but packed with meaning. We're going to see that in a moment. Something brilliant had happened just before Peter said those words, and I'm going to tell you that story because it's a very cool story, and then we'll look at what those words mean. Peter and John were two of Jesus' close friends, and they'd gone for a walk to church, and they were going to church, and then they're about to go in when they saw a really sad sight. They saw some men carrying someone who couldn't walk. He had been born with legs that didn't work, and so they had to carry him. And they carried him up to the church, and they plonked him down, and they sat him outside the church. And he then got hold of his little bowl, and he held it out, hoping that people would give him money. He was begging, okay? And then he heard two people coming. So he stuck his bowl out, hoping that Peter and John would give him money. Peter stopped and said this, "Look at us." And the man had to look up. And he said, "I haven't got any cash, but what I have got, I'm going to give you." What do you think he gave him? Easter egg? Food? Drink? Clothes? Nothing like that. He said this, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then he reached down, I'm going to do it for Ollie now, and he grabbed his hand, hold my hand, and stand up. It's only going to work if you stand up. Okay. And this man, who'd never walked before, stood up. And then when he realized his legs worked, he started jumping around. And leaping around. And shouting out. Okay, you can sit down. It was better than that. I'm sure it was better than that. Now, I've got a bad knee. And it's been bad for about 2 months. And I've got to be really careful. So some of you might have seen me hobbling around a bit. I've got to sort of protect it. So that over months it'll get better. And it is nearly better now. I can bend it again. But with this man whose legs had never worked, in one instant his legs suddenly worked. And he was so happy he leapt around the temple and everybody saw him. It was brilliant. Now everybody saw him. There was no pretending. They all knew this was the beggar they'd seen all their lives sitting outside the temple with his legs who didn't work. And Peter had said some words and he got up and walked. And they all started thinking maybe Peter and John were special. Now, Peter said to them, "Listen, men of Israel, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? We didn't do it. The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus." It's Jesus you need to think about. And then he dropped the bombshell. This is what he said. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this." Three words. Killed, raised, seen. Excellent. Now, is this what Easter is all about? Bunnies. What about this? Eggs. That's a decent size egg, I have to say. No, it's not about that. It's about this. You killed him. God raised him. We saw him. So those first three things. You killed him. That's what Peter said. And he pointed at them probably. Now these were the Jews who'd been around probably 1 month before when Jesus had been crucified. And he said, "You killed him." The accounts of the crucifixion have got very little detail in them. It would have been horrible. Nails going through the wrists. Nails going through the feet. Being lifted up. Bleeding. Being unable to breathe. Suffocating. Hanging on a cross for hours. But the gospel accounts don't say much. They just say they crucified him.
And we aren't told how Jesus felt, but we're told what he said. After about 3 hours of him hanging on the cross, when that day went dark, it was about 3 o'clock, they heard Jesus say this, my God, why have you abandoned me? Which was Jesus talking to his Father and crying out in abandonment. Now, I've never been abandoned, not properly, but I felt like it once. And you can tell me if you've ever had this happen to you. We were at a fair. I was about 7 and I was with my family, and it was huge. There were merry-go-rounds and there were slides and there was stalls and there was candy floss, and it was brilliant. And I was just excited. But then I suddenly realized my mum wasn't holding my hand anymore. And I looked around and I looked everywhere and I couldn't see her. I stood still for about a minute looking and hoping and waiting. And then when they didn't come, I ran all the way around this playground everywhere for about 20 minutes. Still didn't find them. And I ended up hot and tired and crying, and I felt abandoned. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you? Have you ever felt lost? William has. And Toby has. Any of you grown-ups been abandoned or lost? Yeah, it's happened to a few of us. Now, can you remember how horrid it felt to be abandoned? Well, Jesus wasn't abandoned by accident. He wasn't lost in an accident at the fair. He chose to be killed, and his dad chose to abandon him. Even though he'd done nothing wrong, he was killed on the cross. Why? Doesn't sound like a Good Friday, does it? The key is the answer to this question. Who killed Jesus? Now, was it the Romans? Because they were the ones who drove the nails into his hands. Was it the Jews who stood up and said, "Crucify him"? Or was it the disciples who ran away when he was arrested? What about Judas who betrayed him? Could you say he killed Jesus? Well, all of them. But actually, Peter said, "You killed him." And when we read that, we're meant to understand that we did too. Stephen, Lana, Joe, Peter, all of us killed Jesus. Now, Jesus, when he died, he wasn't dying for his own sin because he'd done nothing wrong. He always obeyed his Father. He did no sin. But everyone else, that's you and me, we've all lived in God's world as though we're in charge. As though he doesn't exist. We've ignored God. I don't like it when I say hello to somebody and they ignore me. Has ever that happened to you? Yeah. It's not very nice, is it? What about if somebody came to your house and let themselves in and ignored you? In fact, they just pushed you out of the way. And then they went to your room and played with all your toys and then ate all your Easter eggs and ignored you and then left without saying thank you. You'd be pretty angry, wouldn't you? We've done that to God in his world. We've said no. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We've ignored him. We are sinners and we deserve to die. We deserve to be arrested by God, tried before a judge, found guilty, and sentenced to death. But Jesus died instead. Andrew, can I have a hand? I want someone to drive a nail in. We've had a go and we've not done very well, but Andrew's going to drive a nail in here. When we say to God, we don't want you to drive it in as hard as you can. We ignore you and we want to live in our world without you. It's like we're driving the nails in that killed Jesus. Thank you. It was our sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought us life now that it is finished. Those were the biggest nails I could find. I think the ones that they put into Jesus' hands were even bigger. Some of you thinking maybe, no, I wasn't there, I didn't kill him. That was 2,000 years ago. And in one sense, that's true. But Jesus didn't need to die if none of us had sinned. He did die
for all of our sin. You killed him. You killed him. I need someone to hold this up for me. Where's my... Here we go. Who's going to come and hold a little picture up for me? Here we go. It's not a picture. Killed. Okay, Alana, could you come and hold this? You just need to stand there with that, just like that, there in front of you. Thank you very much. Killed. And I can put... You killed him. That's the horrid truth of Good Friday. We may have been coming to church and thought about Christianity all our lives, but if we haven't admitted that we killed Jesus, then we are not Christians. We killed the author of life by our sin, and we can't benefit from Easter. No matter how many eggs you eat, Easter won't help. Happily, the story doesn't end there. Peter said something amazing straight after that. He said, God raised him. Now I need someone else to hold this one for me. Thank you. Can you stand next to Alana, Beata, and hold the raise there? Dead people don't normally come back to life. Sometimes a person nearly dies and people think they're dead, but they're not, and they revive. Jesus really was dead, and when someone dies, that's normally it. Have you seen the dead animals by the side of the road sometimes? Has anybody seen a dead fox? Dead badger? I've seen a dead badger. Now, I saw one only 2 days ago. Put your hands down. If I'd got out of my car and gone and got that badger and put him in the boot and taken him to the hospital, do you think they'd have been able to fix him? Would that? I think it'd have been pretty smelly. And it wouldn't have been a good idea, would it? Because dead things don't come back to life again. Not unless God changes things. And he did that first Easter day. On the third day after his crucifixion, Jesus rose from the dead. When they went to the place where he'd been buried, they found some grave clothes neatly folded and nothing else. No body. Jesus had done what he said he'd do, risen from the dead. Mary found the tomb empty, do you remember? And she stood there crying. Suddenly someone asked her why she was so upset, and she didn't realize that it was Jesus speaking to her. And she said, "Where have you put him?" And then he said her name, Mary. And she turned round, and it was Jesus, risen from the dead. And she reached out to hold him. And afterwards she hurried back and said, "I've seen the Lord." When Jesus rose from the dead, he showed everyone two amazing things. The most important thing it showed us was that God's plan had worked. God's plan to save people from their sin had worked. When someone says they're going to swim from one side of the pool to the other and they dive in, have they done what they said they're going to do? If they're going to do what they said they're going to do, they've got to get out the other side, haven't they? Or somebody says, "I'm going to swim the channel." I know someone who said they could swim the channel. And he dived in, and we all said, "Well done." But we only clapped him when he got out the other side, because that's when he'd done what he said he was going to do. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he showed that he'd done what he said he was going to do. It also showed that Jesus is really in charge. If he's in charge, you can't be. Now, you've all been in a car, haven't you? Who's in charge of the car? Which person of your two parents is in charge of the car when you're in the car? Both of them. Well, that's interesting. Who's the one who decides which way the car is going to go? Chloe? The driver. The driver's in charge. But if you wanted to be in charge as well, Joe, and you decided you wanted to drive while you were going along, what would happen? You'd crash. You can't have two people in charge at the same time. Only one person can be in charge. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he was saying, "I'm in charge. Will you let me be in charge of your life?" You killed him. God raised him. What's the third word? Chloe, can you come and hold it? Let's say the three words. Can you line up on the other side of Beata? Ready? Killed, raised, seen. We saw him. When Peter said, "We saw him," he was turning the tables on everybody else who was listening. Remember, they'd all just watched a miracle. They'd all been having an ordinary day until then, and they'd seen a man who was crippled suddenly get up and walk. That was amazing. There was no pretending it hadn't happened. He was still there jumping around.
Ollie, you should be jumping around, but I'll let you off. It was extraordinary, but up till then, it was just something they did, they'd seen and they could have gone home in the evening and told their family about it in the evening. But when Peter said, it's Jesus' miracle, you killed him, God raised him, and we saw him, he was turning the spotlight on them. Suddenly, everybody was looking at them. How are they going to respond? Now, I had it once when everybody started looking at me. It was a bit embarrassing. It was at school, and I was about 7. And it was in a French lesson, and the French teacher was good, but he was very strict. And he didn't like anyone looking out of the window, let alone talking. But one day, I was quite hungry, and I thought I'd have some snack. So I put my hand in my pocket, and I did it really slowly, so he wasn't watching. And I got out something, and I very slowly put my hand to my mouth. Like this. And he saw me. So I swallowed my raisin very quickly. What are you doing? Nothing. And he said, what have you got in your hand? And at that point, everybody was looking at me. And I thought I'd been found out, and I was. He said, hold out your hand. So I had to hold it out. Open your hand, and I had to show him my raisins. At which point, I was caught. Very embarrassing. Everybody was looking at me, and it's like that when Peter said, we saw him, so what are you going to do about it? When he said, we saw him, it was then that everybody listening had to decide for themselves, what are they going to do about Jesus? Jesus was killed, he was raised, he was seen, and there's only two ways you can respond to that. Two ways you can respond to Easter. No one will sit here today and be unchanged. Everybody's going to leave here today moved towards Jesus or away from him. Let me tell you what these two ways are. And you need to say, which one of these two ways are you going to choose? Or maybe you've chosen already and you're going to grow in. You can say, I'm going to go my way. Oh, there we go. There's the tomb. We saw him. And the choice is with us. What are you going to do about it? If I'm going to go my way, when Peter says, you killed him, you'll be saying, no, I didn't. And when Peter says, God raised him, he'll be saying, no, he didn't. And when Peter says, we saw him, we'll say, I don't believe it. No thanks, not for me, I'm fine. And you'll go away, and Easter will mean nothing to you, and you'll have no hope of resurrection. Or you can go God's new way, which is brilliant. You can say, when Peter says, you killed him, you can say, yes, it was my sin that drove those nails in. It was me being rebellious and saying no to God that killed Jesus. I admit it. And when he says, God raised him, you can say, I believe that. I think he did rise from the dead. And that does mean his plan worked. And we can be forgiven. And when Peter says, we saw him, we'll say, yes, I believe it. And I want Jesus to be in charge. I submit. So which of those two ways are you going to leave here this morning? Saying yes or saying no? Because that's the challenge of Easter. Now, I hope there's many Christians here who are encouraged by the good news of the gospel. And you'll have trusted Christ already, and this will have reaffirmed you in your faith. And I hope that's true for some of you youngsters as well. And as you eat your Easter eggs, you'll be thinking, yes, God, you killed him, we killed him, but God raised him and he was seen. Remember I started with that little Easter egg? And that sleeping bag, which Toby's now in, actually. Well, actually, that's quite good. Inside that amazing verse, you killed him, God raised him, we've seen him, is the truth about Jesus. And we can climb in. We can trust God. Now, next time you get your Easter egg, why don't you remember this?
It's got shiny wrapping paper on the outside. That's to remind you of Jesus' crown. When you open it up on the inside, what color is it? Brown, which is the color of the earth. Jesus the King came to earth and he was buried in the ground. He died. And inside, actually it doesn't work with these ones. Inside it's hollow because the tomb was empty. He rose again from the dead. Think of that when you remember Easter. And let's leave here, trusting Christ. God, we killed him. God raised him. And he was seen. Okay, can I have those? If you want to sit down briefly, I'm going to say a prayer. Then I'm going to give you an egg. And then you're going to go back to your seats. Let's be quiet and let's say a prayer. Father in heaven, on this great day, when we remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and your plan accomplished, help us to trust that you are in charge, and that as we put our faith in you, we are forgiven. Please encourage the Christians to leave here strengthened and move to go on in their faith. And pray for any of those who have come not yet trusting Christ to be convinced of the truth of Easter Day. We pray it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.